Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Simulation football is a hobby that I've had more than one gridiron historian mention as a pastime they enjoy to use their football knowledge in. To learn more about this, a virtual dream team of sim team owners and league commissioners, Randy Civini, Brandon Rose, and Greg James, came into the pig pen to tell me all about it and what a lot of fun we truly had.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen. We have another great show on the games and hobbies and collections associated with the game of football. And we have a really big one tonight. And this is a really special occasion because we have three guests to tell us about one game that's really very popular that I don't know much about. So I'm anxious to learn with you, the listening audience. And we're going to bring in a familiar voice, and that is Greg James of From the 55-Yard Line podcast. And you've heard Greg here before talking about the CFL. And Greg, we're going to be talking about sim football. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about what that is.
Well, in a nutshell, it's not Madden football. Let's start off. It's not video game football, but it's much like back when we were kids playing board games. Stratomatic, for those who are listening, can remember the Stratomatic board games, anything with the roll of a dice. And as time has moved on over the years with technology, we've gotten into the era of computer football. Tonight, bringing in two of the commissioners in three of the leagues that I am in. We've got Brandon Rose, who is the commissioner of the Continental Football League and the Canadian American Football League, and Randy Civini, who is the commissioner of the Ultimate Football Federation that I also play. And actually, Randy's league is the first one that I joined, with Brandon's being the next two that I joined right after that. So, and they are both historical leagues. And what we do is we use Action PC Football. It's the best program out there that simulates the what if. So with that said, welcome Brandon and welcome Randy.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, Randy.
Hey, Brandon.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us here in the pig pen today. Now, you are the gurus of this sim football. Now, Greg has talked quite a bit about you too, and I'm glad we could get all of you three here together to talk about this. Now, Brandon, you are the historian of the bunch, I'm told. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about the history of how the development of sim football came about.
Sim football, my familiarity started with a game way back called Junior Quarterback when I was like 8 or 9 years old. And it was basically you called what play you wanted to run and rolled dice. You didn't have anything that you weren't playing players. So there was nothing that determined who the good players or bad players were. It was the roll of the dice. From there, I then went to a true sim game, Nagemco, which was a game company in Minnesota. Randy might remember them. Yeah. Nemadji Game Company. Yep. And they had two separate games that they produced. They had one called Nagemco, which was for mainly adolescents, like when you're 8, 9, 10 years old. And then they had another game called Big League Manager that was like an adult version of the same. It was Nagemco on steroids. And from there, I didn't like either game because Nagemco, for one thing, had a spinner. So you're always arguing over where did it really stop on the one or did it stop on the not, you know, what that kind of stuff. And then when I was 10 or 11, my mother and dad got me APA Baseball. And from APA Baseball, loving all sports. Then when fall and winter came, I got APA football. And that was with cards, dice, and charts. And you got to actually coach your favorite, your players. And they produce a new card set every year. And that was a big deal because you'd order it and it would take 6 to 8 weeks to arrive. And I mean, about week five, you would hope maybe they got it printed and distributed early. You'd look for the mailman and hope your new card set came.
Yep.
But it was a very simple game. It had like your receiver grades were A, B, C. Guys were rated at their position 1 through 5. You didn't have and the dice. It was 2 dice, 1 red, 1 white, and the number scheme was 11 through 66. Obviously, you rolled 2 ones. That's your 11. Double numbers were big. From there, I played that from about 1965 until like almost 2000. I tried a couple computer in the beginning. The DOS versions of some of the football games were really bad.
Lance after football.
Yes. And Randy, you'll probably remember this on some of the games, APA, Stratomatic, Lance Hafner, the NFL players didn't want their name on the card. So they put their uniform number and you had to figure out who number 84 was for the Green Bay Packers was Carroll Dale. Well, you know, that kind of took away from the game. And we all know DOS was clunky, but it's all you had. Mm-hmm. So I didn't play again. Pat Berry, Randy.
Yep.
Pat Berry was after me for probably 5-6 years about Action PC football. You got to play. You got to play. So I finally got it. And at first, I played one season. I took the Packers. I can't remember what year because I got some retro seasons. And I played just against the AI. And that didn't cut it because I was used to being in leagues where you traded and you built your team and whatever.
Right.
And I threw caution to the wind. I'd run that Apple League for about 20 years, but it was a mail league. It wasn't like this. And I put an ad at, the APC forum. And the next thing plus the guys I knew through the baseball sim world. And I filled the 24 slots or 20. The Odyssey 1960 was the first season. So with the NFL, I think we had 16 teams with AFL and NFL, maybe 20. I filled those slots in no time. And then from there, it just took off. And I got to know Dave Koch fairly well. And the game, all the others have been derived from a card, chart, dice, something. Yep. So when you played it, you kind of knew what the number, how big was the matrix on the number scheme. We have no idea with Action PC.
Nope.
I mean, the other thing Dave likes, which we'll all can relate to with the sim, except for Darren. Darren, you're getting an education. APA, Stratomatic.
That's what I'm here for.
If you did it that season, there was a chance you were going to do it in a replay.
Right.
If you didn't, you weren't going to. Dave Koch didn't like that. He wanted if it happened in a football game, he wanted every player to have the ability to possibly do it. Once again, not knowing what the percentages are of those things happening, like all of a sudden you got a guy who didn't return a punt or a kick for a touchdown. He's running back a punt or a kick for a touchdown. Or intercepting one and running, in APA, that's what you'd look for. You'd look for the guys who could go, I mean, Travis Williams in 1967, when he ran back 4 kicks, you wanted him on your damn team. He was going to win a game late for you. And he might, if you got a really good team. Anyway, that's how I ended up with Action PC Sports and through the liking the football game, I formed a baseball league 4 years ago after playing strictly APA baseball until about 1980. And then from there I played replay baseball. And then I played another game called Diamond Mine Baseball starting in about 95. All good games, but I just like Dave Koch's way of, if it can happen, it can happen.
Yeah.
There's the unknown that's out there that guys get ticked. I've played games where, you know, I've blown my stack and wanted to throw my laptop right out the front door.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, that's about it.
Randy, do you play the same game? You play the action PC also?
Yeah, I've been playing probably since 95. I wasn't ever in any leagues until I got into Brandon's. And then after a couple bought, I was probably in Brandon's for 7 years, and I decided to commission up and start my own leagues.
Randy, how did you get in touch with me? I don't even, did someone recommend you or?
On the forum.
On the forum, yeah.
Yep. Joined up, followed Brandon. We played in leagues for probably 10 seasons at least.
Yeah.
And then I started my own league, and it's been great. But the thing with this business is, this game is, we're all too old. Yes. You know, the minimum league is the young guys in all these leagues are 50 years old.
Yeah.
And we got to try to get the younger guys to play these games.
Yes.
Right. Now, Randy, maybe you could tell me a little bit, what is involved? Do you need some special software that you need to buy to play the game, or is it an online?
So that's the best thing about it, is you, every year Dave Koch sells the game. It's a new version every year. It's like, you know, about $45, you get the latest season, but it has everything to set up the league in there. So you create the league, you email out the file, somebody will install the file, which is just that week's games. And then people will see who they play and all their statistics. And then they play the games head to head, and it connects. Usually we use Hamachi, but you can connect directly to play the games, but everybody knows how to do it. We've all been doing it long enough, and we can teach all the newcomers. I mean, we taught Greg, so if we can teach anybody, we can.
Greg was your guinea pig then. Huh?
Well, funny you should. So when I got into, now how I came to discover all this was by a book called Pastime by Ted Kluck, who as ironically, Randy is occupies, I think, the last chapter of the book. And so I read the book on a plane going out to Phoenix back during my reserve days. And after I read the book, I'm like, you know what? If I had more time, I would do this. Now, the key thing is, you know, was finding a league, was trying to figure out how to get into, you know, a great subculture. It's like, these are my people. These, you know, there are, you know, people out there like me who really, really love football, who also love the history of football. And how I kind of came a roundabout way of discovering it through science fiction. And Brandon and Randy, I'm sure you guys remember George R.R. Tolkien, who, you know, Game of Thrones, wrote a great short story called The Last Super Bowl that talks about simulation football.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how I came to it. And then, you know, once I retired from the Navy, right away I started, or I knew I was getting close to retiring from the Navy. I applied for a couple leagues, and Brandon's league and Randy's league were my first three. And unfortunately, my first team was the 1966 Miami Dolphins. And Randy can tell you, it was a challenging season for me.
Joe Auer run back a kick for you?
I wish. Not once did he. And matter of fact, nobody ran back any kicks. And Randy, I would have to go. I'm sure, I know you've got the historical file, but it was not a pretty season, but much, you know, as a newbie kind of learning the ropes. The reason why I stuck with Brandon and Randy was a sense of community. I joined other leagues, was in other leagues up until recently. You didn't really, at least for me personally, I like that sense of community. And with Brandon and Randy, you know, it's there's a reason why I'm staying with them moving forward with everything that's on my plate, both with work and school. So
that's nice to hear. And I mentioned this to Darren before we went on, that I'd love to take credit for how I run my leagues. Hey, it's all my ideas. what you said about community. I mean, I was in a great, and I'm still in it, a great baseball league that was the environment that commissioner created. In fact, I ran a diamond mine baseball league for like 30 years. And every January I hosted the rookie draft here in Fort Myers. And it was a 24 team league, 16 guys, 18 guys would come every year. And I learned that from that commissioner. He is up in the Capital District area in New York. He lives in the Albany, Schenectady area, and that's what they would do. And I thought about it, but it all changed when everything went internet. You can do this.
Right. Yep.
Because we did a lot of stuff on the phone, trading, drafting, and all that. And there was never a face to the voice. Right. And then when we had these get-togethers, my God, then the sense of community was incredible. Because now, hey, I met Randy, and now when I'm talking to him, I know what he looks like. I just hung out with him for 3 days, 4 days for the draft. We'd always have a golf event or a bowling event on one of the days before we got the draft start. And that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So how do you do?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
How do you recreate that with this? Well, this does it. I've thought, although you get guys who aren't that interested in it, I've thought many times, like for our drafts, use Slack or something like that and start and do like a third of the draft one Saturday. It would go so fast. The drafts go so fast when you're in person or you do it that way. But anyway, the community part, I appreciate you saying that and how important that is. Because that's almost more important than the league itself. Just everybody gets along and there's no, because you got leagues. We've all been in them, right, Randy and Greg? Yeah. I mean, all it is turmoil. And you got a handful of guys. I said it earlier. You got a handful of guys that you look in your email box and you see an email from them. You're going, oh no, what now? Right.
Yeah, I mean, right. Well, and there have been emails where I look at the email box, read kind of what the issue is, go away from it. Then I come back to it and think to myself, boy, that escalated quickly. And next thing you know, the whatever franchise is, you know, we're looking for a new owner. And,
right.
You know, I know in our leagues, the three here, there's been turnover, but it hasn't been as much. I know in other leagues, in talking with some other guys in some other leagues, there's some high turnover in some leagues. So
huge. And that's what I look at. And Randy, tell me, Randy, I mean, is most of your turnover, mine's usually family related, health related, or work related. It's never, I'm sick of your BS.
Yeah.
You know, I take your league. And now I've had guys that I've, and I think Randy and I might have crossed swords over a trade or something.
Right. Yep.
And, you know,
and Randy, to be honest with you, that was a mistake that I made when I sent my response to the whole league, because I learned that many, many years ago from another commissioner. If you've got an issue with me,
we learned that. Yeah.
Because
you taught us that in that league. We don't really fight at all.
Two of my best buddies, and you know these two guys, and Jeff Stainfield, he and I grew up together. I've known Jeff. We grew up here in Fort Myers. And Doug Stewart. And as soon as they know how to push my buttons, and if something would happen, I'd get an email from, well, that's what happened. They prodded me, and then I just said, okay. I really hated to see you leave.
Yeah. Hey, you know, it all worked out for the best, though, because I got to start two leagues.
Well, you wrote me a great email. Yeah. You ended up thanking me.
Yeah. It's
going best thing that happened. You taught me how to run a league.
Yeah, you did. Because, well, you know, and I would have never known, you know, Brandon's a hard ass and he would not take no shit from nobody.
Yeah.
But the good thing is all the people wanted to stay and play. And I kept the same thing. I did my fair share of kicking people out of leagues.
Right. Well, and you know, I think the kind of the key thing is, at least in just, you know, my limited experience in the past year with the leagues that I've been in, what different, you know, there are leagues out there. You guys, it's not a democracy in a league. And you guys, the commissioner makes the final call.
And it's like a business.
It is.
I'm the owner.
Right. Yep. And that's what's great about your leagues, because I know whatever disputes are, it's not going to be hashed out. The commissioner's going to make the call. Life moves on. And yeah. I know I've seen in some other leagues where all of a sudden there is an, sometimes you have too many rules. Sometimes you have, I've seen rule books.
Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
well, you gotta, while you're playing the game, you have to have the rule book open because you're not sure of certain things.
Yeah.
That's not fun.
But do you guys mind if we get, I'm going to get a better understanding what the game is.
Okay.
If we could, you know,
okay.
I mean, the camaraderie and everything, that's exciting. That's great. That's team building. That's what football is all about.
Right.
But you know what, so Randy, what would I expect if I was a newcomer and I was just joined the league? I paid the $45. I got the download of the Action PC Sports. Now, what would I expect to do going into a draft? Am I drafting a team? Am I drafting a bunch of players like fantasy?
Well, it depends on how you want to do the league. But say if you're just going to do a brand new, the whole league just started. There's nobody in it. All the players are in a draft file. And then, the commissioner will determine the draft order randomly, whatever way they decide. And then that'll be sent out and people will go, okay, now I draft. And we set a timetable, say the draft is going to start at noon on Monday. You have an hour to pick. And, you know, in the first round, you go really pick and you just go through and pick all your players.
No, so we're picking individual players. I heard Greg say he had a team. So there must be two different types of drafts.
You can do it. You can do it anyway.
There's stock leagues, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
When I joined Randy's league and it started in 1966, I literally joined one game in historical league with, and there was a lot of trading that went on prior to the start of the league. So, but like for instance, my team, the Miami Dolphins, I had the 1966 Miami Dolphins, and there was a trade window. So by the time we got to probably whenever that trade window closed, the teams that you would have recognized in history didn't exist.
No, they're gone.
Okay. They're gone.
Okay. So most of the leagues are you're drafting players from that era. If you're whatever year you're in, players that would have played that season.
Right.
Now are they all just NFL players or are there some from, okay. So you're playing NFL player leagues.
So whatever the next league is. So if it's a normal league, you'll just once say 1968, ends, you'll draft the players that didn't play in 68, the new players that started in 69, and then whatever players, you know, we all have a cut. We don't want people to hold on to players forever, so they'll cut their team down to say 30 players, so every player after that will go into the draft as well.
Okay, so somewhat of a keeper league in fantasy, but you're getting rid of some players to bring the rookies from that season in.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Brandon, once the gameplay gets going, you have your season. What do you see on your screen? Is there like animated figures or is it just data that you're seeing?
There's a football field that you can decide if you want it vertical or horizontal. I usually have the vertical one off to the side. And then you've got a statistic window so you can keeps track of what your players are doing in that game. You have a window that gives you the play-by-play, and then you have all the plays to choose from. When you're on offense, it has all the running and passing plays, and on the defensive side, there you go. Randy's got it up. There it is.
Okay.
That's what it looks like, Darren.
Okay, I gotcha.
And the more you play it, the more at first it can be a little intimidating when you first start, but once you get to know it, it isn't. And you end up basically probably using maybe half of it. There's a lot of stuff you don't use. Mm-hmm. And like Randy mentioned, for the football game, every April, a new version comes out and there'll be subtle changes to it. Dave Koch is very good at trying to upgrade everything and add things and take stuff out that really didn't make sense. The player ratings are the most important. They've got, I think he uses Stats Inc. He's also got another service he uses. I don't know who it is.
Now, do the players' skills diminish as they age, like they would,
as you're based on that season, Darren.
Okay.
So like Greg had Cookie Gilchrist probably in 1966 on that Dolphin team. Well, Cookie Gilchrist in 62 was a one-man wrecking crew. Yep. By 66 with Miami, he was nothing. So, based on there were games in the past, though, that would they do career ratings. They kept, but anyway, the single season, the individual season stuff. So that way you can look, Randy and Greg knows now too, because he's been at it. You can try to build toward one season too, Darren.
Yep.
Say we're playing 1968 right now, and I go and look at all my players on my roster, and I see that, God, a bunch of them really get good in 1970 or 71. Well, I could build and try to get draft picks for 70 and 71 or trade for other guys that are really good. And that's – everybody goes at it differently. Yeah. Some guys want to win right now. And that was – Randy, that and Greg, big bone of contention in my leagues.
Yeah.
I never understood why. They didn't like guys dumping their team.
Yep. Yep.
Right.
Dumping the league is fine.
It's your team.
Yep.
If you want to have your brains beaten in for two, three seasons to win one or two twice, and there's no guarantees you're going to win it because someone else is building toward maybe that year.
Well, or trying to stop somebody from drafting Bob Greasy number one overall when Alan
Pace did that. Stainfield? Did Stainfield do that?
No.
Who did that?
Greg did that.
Greg.
I offered him two first-round picks for number one, and he still picked Greasy instead of taking the pick.
Well, and then after that, I got tired of getting beat up on, and I traded a boatload of picks for pretty much half of Kansas City's defense.
Yeah.
So it's paid off in 68, though.
So Greg is sort of the Mike Ditka of Sim World. Okay.
Yeah.
Trading all his team for one player. Okay, I got
you. I traded 9 picks for 5 players.
Okay, you're the opposite of Ditka then.
So we'll see how it pays off down the line. But
because guys have favorites. That's the other thing.
Yes.
I mean, you can get locked. You can trap yourself with that routine.
Well,
we've all seen it where guys will try to get a guy's a big San Diego Charger fan. He's going to go and get every San Diego Charger. Well, you kind of pinch yourself into a corner because now when you're so caught up in I've got so many guys offer you a good trade. You're not going to make it because you want to keep. Right. Kellen Winslow or Dan Fouts. Of course, those are the main guys. But, you know, because when I started the Odyssey, the way we did it, we all took an NFL or AFL team, and we could keep just 3 stars from teams.
So you had the AFL players and the NFL players in those pre-1966 teams. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And the way Dave Koch did it, was great because he rated everybody equal. When APA introduced the AFL players and teams, they totally knocked down all their ratings because they didn't want kids playing or anybody playing the NFL and the AFL would have a chance. Now we're talking about going back 60 years ago when I can still remember my dad and my uncle saying the AFL looked like a bunch of women playing football because they were all old NFL guys. But anyway, I mean, it's just an amazing what it amazes me how guys will judge other guys. And it's like, if the guy's having fun, who cares?
Yeah,
if he wants to trade his team or if he wants all the Chicago Bears.
Yep.
It's his team and he's trading away all his picks and probably,
Now, can you use, let's say you're playing in this 1960s era, you're having one of those seasons. Can you play modern formations? Can you go like a 4 wide or is it?
They're in there, but they're not going to work. You don't have enough. Randy will tell you that you don't have enough players. Like you can't in the 60s, you can't. Nobody went 3 wide in the 60s anyway, but you can't really go 3 and 4 wide, 5 wide like today because you only had a what did the NFL 32 man rosters or something.
Yeah.
So, okay, say each team has 40 guys rated because of injuries and taxi squad guys got to play and all that, but you can, Darren, play however you want to do it, you can do it, but the roster size will limit you.
Plus, Darren, the game has fatigue. So if the players catch too many passes, or they're going to be horrible at the end of the season. So you have to manage that. and they have in-game fatigue. So if a player only played six games in a season, he's only going to play six games. He's going to get hurt.
There's going to be an hit, right?
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the fatigue part makes it fair because Appa didn't have that. And I can still remember as a kid, we'd look for what we called funny cards, where a guy had touchdowns on an 11 and a 66 roll, and but he maybe only carried the ball 15 times, but he ran two long touchdown runs. Well, hell, we'd run that guy 300 times.
Yep.
This game, you set the usage limits. Yep. And like Randy said, when the threes are like, it's like 15% over, 20% over, and 25% over. At 15, your skills are just diminished.
Right.
The next two levels, penalties are going to start, turnovers are going to start.
Yep.
But we've all had the game too, where we're playing a guy who is quarterback's three asterisk fatigue, and he's still completing every pass he's throwing. Yeah. And you're ready to take the laptop and either stomp it or throw it out the front door. What the hell's going on here?
And okay, so when you're saying it's three asterisks, so there is something that's indicating your player's getting fatigued. And
you get an alert.
You can sub that player out for somebody else you have on your bench then?
Well, and the great thing about this game is you learn how to be a coach to manage your team, because I'm very big as I've gone on figuring out, well, instead of having one big star at running back, might be better to have a running back by committee, because Brandon in the CAFL, that's where I've got Edrin James, and I've also got, he's a stud, but he's at the end of his career, but I've also got some other players that can kind of pick up the slack. And while I haven't won really many games this year, I have noticed the difference as I'm still learning how to maximize what little talent I have to keep those games competitive. And that's the other part that for me, it was a challenge starting out, was I was getting blown out pretty much every game, except the CFL, where I took over a team, a friend Brandon had, one of the owner previously, who basically was half of the 1971 Steelers, which is a team on the rise.
Ted Kruger.
Kruger. We all know that guy.
We know Teddy.
Yeah.
And
he's a Steeler guy.
And
there's nothing wrong with that. I'm from Western Pennsylvania, so there's nothing wrong with that.
Hey, Darren, my wife's from Johnstown.
Okay. I'm in Erie, so I'm a little north.
Her brother went to Edinburgh College.
That's where I graduated from. That's my hometown is Edinburgh. So
okay. Cody Fajardo's. Not Cody Fajardo.
Trevor Harris.
Trevor Harris. That's right.
Yeah, he was our quarterback not too long ago. That's for sure.
But
go ahead, Greg.
No, but getting back to what I was saying, the beauty of the game is you're learning. And for me, what do all these numbers mean? And as time has gone on, spent time talking to Randy and Brandon, just kind of figuring it out. Yeah, you do learn, and it's paying off now. Let's say use the 1968 season where I'm at now. I'm starting to see success on the field. Not a whole lot, but it's building towards, say, 1970, or 1971, I think. Randy, when do I get my draft picks back?
71.
But it's the key thing for anybody new coming into the game playing is just take time, learn, and when you're in a league, and it's better, when you're in a league, it's hard to lose, and just learn as much as you can and talk to the guys who are in the league, because and that's what something I've learned over the course of really the last 10 months.
Yes. Randy, if you are playing this game, how much time does it take of real time to play a game?
So I would say it depends. If you're playing Pete Castellanos, it takes 30 minutes, but most time it's an hour.
Okay. So is there like a normal clock, with four quarters and a certain amount of
40 second play clock in my leagues. Yeah. So, and Randy's right. It's basically 45 minutes to an hour. Mm-hmm. But you do have Paul Brown's another one that can get a game done in about a half hour with Paul Brown. Yep. or Nityan Khanna or Pete Katsifanis. I mean, they're like, as soon as your play goes up, they got the defense call. Right. When they're on, when they have the ball, the play's up, you better be ready to call your defense. They want to, they don't want to horse around.
Yeah. And then, you know, with that said, there are some other, and some other guys who literally take up the full clock to pick out their play.
Joe Sardo, Greg.
No. I was thinking of somebody else, but
I just got a complaint on Joe. Joe could drag it out to 2 hours.
Yeah, no, it's not. It wasn't Joe. It was okay. Joe. But the other part of it is too connection speed. So getting how we do this head to head. You know, you can do a direct connection, which both of you guys got to teach me how to do because I have yet to figure that out. But we also use Hamachi. And I know with the way the internet is, sometimes it depends upon traffic too. Traffic on the internet can slow things down considerably.
Yeah. Now, talking about that, now, Brandon, how do you schedule your leagues? Do you let the players, let's say myself and Greg are in one of your leagues and you have us playing each other in a particular time period. Do you just set a time for us? Say, hey, 1 o'clock on Saturday you're playing, or do we mutually come up with a time to play?
That's what you do. Yes. It's just like the NFL. Our season starts. You got week one, all the games are there. Guys see the schedule. It's up to say Randy and Greg are playing. It's up to them. My play week, I do it Wednesday to Tuesday. I want the weekend to kind of be in the middle. I don't want the weekend to be the end of it where guys on a Sunday night now has to play a football game. And what you look at your schedule, say I'm playing you, Darren. I'll send you an email and say, Darren, we play this week. Let me know your availability. Give me some days and times. You'll send that to me. I'll look at it. Hey, Saturday at 10 a.m. works great. I send that back to you. Saturday at 10 a.m., we tee it up.
Okay.
And all the guys do that. Now, you got some guys that, you know, you got to kind of chase down. I'll get an email and say, hey, I haven't heard from Bill Schneider. But, you know, real life steps in. And some of these guys, like Bill Schneider, for the longest time irritated me because he was the guy that by Friday – Wednesday, the new schedule goes out with the new database. Friday or Saturday, I get an email from his opponent. Well, I come to find out Bill travels all over the world. He might be in a hotel room in London with a crappy connection, and he doesn't want to try to play a football game. Well, he's also not a great communicator. He should let opponent know, but that's how it goes. Yeah. So you have Wednesday to Tuesday to play your game. And then the following Wednesday, the week two database comes out.
Yep. And you've got guys all over the world playing.
All over the world. The guy who has Windsor in the Ian Mallett, he's in somewhere in Great Britain. I'm not sure where. I used to have a couple guys. Randy, do you have either of the guys who live in like Saudi Arabia or?
No, I don't have any of them.
Italy, there were a couple brothers years ago that they wanted in my leagues, and I was in a current league playing the current season, and it's a pain in the ass. I mean, when they're 8 or 10 hours, 7, 8, 10 hour difference, it's just a nightmare to try to schedule. England's bad enough.
It is, and the thing is, once you learn though, and this is what I've kind of came to know. Once you kind of figure out where somebody's at, like for me, I'm willing to adjust my schedule accordingly because I know, you know, and you know, by the end of this next year, I probably will be on, hopefully be on the other side of the world. I'll still
be in Japan.
Yeah. And
What is the time? What's the time? 14 hours?
About 14, 13.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But it'll be it will be a challenge, but the key thing is communicating, you know, communicating with commissioners and with your opponent and figuring something out.
Yeah. So you play, Darren, you play your game. One of us would host. Darren, you could say, hey, I'll host. I can host. I always put at the bottom of mine, I can host via Hamachi.
Yeah.
I got guys who say, hey, I don't have Hamachi, or they go. A lot of guys in the old days when Action PC first hit the streets, the rule of thumb was basically the home team hosted.
Mm-hmm.
But because we all play on different platforms and stuff and different equipment and connections and all this stuff, a lot of times that didn't work. So when Hamachi came around, it made it easier for everybody. And they were always, in the beginning, they thought guys could do crap with the game if they hosted. And you really can't. That's the other thing Dave Koch has really been good at protecting. You can't go in and really manipulate the game.
You can't cheat at all.
Now, no what, way.
And what kind of devices can you play on? Do you can only play on a PC, or can you play on a mobile app? Or how?
Only on a PC.
Only on a PC.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a PC or a laptop is Windows based or a Mac PC. Okay.
I don't know if you can play on Mac.
No, you can't play Mac.
I think you've got to get a tool. I think there's a special.
Right.
I've seen it on the forum, Randy.
Okay. It's an emulator, right?
Something.
Even for Linux. But if you really want, I mean, if you're going to play the game, I mean, you just buy a cheap laptop like what I did, you know. And play the game. Unfortunately, cheap laptops are everywhere nowadays. So But 99% of us have, you know, who are listening to this probably have the equipment to run.
And really, the game isn't very. It's not a memory hog. It's not a graphics hog. You don't need to have, like Greg said, you don't need to have a big bad computer because it's all text based.
Right.
Okay. Right. So do the strategies change for gameplay depending on what era you're playing in? Let's start with the draft. Okay, yeah. I know like fantasy football, the popular thing is you want to get the quarterbacks, and the backs are usually they're the first ones to go. Maybe wide receiver. How does it go in a typical draft for players for sim?
Well, Randy or Greg, you want to.
So the strategy is what you have. You know, if you're a really defensive team, then you don't want the other team you want them to play against your defense. You want to play the ball slow. Everybody has their own strategies, but the errors make the strategy too. Like in the 60s, you can't throw the ball a lot because there's so many interceptions and so many sacks. Right. Unless you have, there's a couple of quarterbacks you can get away with, but you have to be okay with throwing two interceptions in a game. In modern football, you do that, you're out of the game.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The other thing you have to be careful with, Randy, touching on what you said about the 60s, you know, Bart Starr had awesome numbers.
Yeah.
Didn't throw the ball. You better have a great running game. You better have what he had in Green Bay, a great running game. And when the defense goes to stuff your two running backs, that's when Starr becomes incredibly valuable. Lenny Dawson was another one in that era. Sonny Jurgensen, John Unitas, obviously. Yep. But everybody's different. Darren, once again, what you asked is everybody's different. There's guys who want, like Vince DiOrio wants to have some high-powered offense.
Every time.
Where he wants it coast to coast. He wants the opportunity that he might be able to go coast to coast on every play.
Mm-hmm. He did in my game.
The rule – to me, the rule of thumb that I found with most guys who built winners that were able to sustain it, it's the old axiom in football, get the best guys that are closest to the football, your offensive line, your defensive line, and then build back from there.
Right. And you know what? In talking and just in mentioning that, and when I had a few drafts in the other leagues, you know, before – you know, life got in the way and I dropped out, but I was knee deep in learning the draft. And so this past year has been very educational. Even though I didn't stay in the leagues, I learned a lot through the draft. And the one thing I learned as I was drafting was when you have the program up and you're trying to figure out who do I take? Well, when you're looking at the numbers, there are numbers for everybody. Mm-hmm. And talking about, you know, drafting offensive linemen, you look for the highest numbers available, because the higher the number for your offensive linemen or your defensive linemen means you're just going to be able to push that much harder up front. And it does make a difference in a great running game.
Yeah,
and if you're able to have a good line, and, you know, again, going back to running back by committee, you can move the ball. And, to me, and that's something I learned with my 1966 Miami Dolphins.
You know, what you just said, exactly right. I mean, Randy, you know Stainfield. Jeff built some of the best teams, and that was always his thing. he'd always tell me, I'm going to have a great O-line. I'm going to have a great defense up front. He go, I don't need John Unitas or Sonny Jurgensen. I can have just a better than average quarterback. And what you said, Greg, a couple, three, four better than average running backs, not the Jim Browns or the Jimmy Taylors or the, you know, Leroy Kellys and those types. He could have the next guys down. And it worked because what you said, that front offensive line is just bulldozing. I always call it a bulldozer. Right. I'm just bulldozing the guy. And on defense, I'm suffocating him.
Yep. Yeah.
You don't have to blitz. You don't have to double receiver. You got two. You got a 10 or a 9 at corner. You don't have to double.
Right.
Anyway.
You know, the other side of that, of building the game, you got to call the right game because the game will recognize, like, if you're consistently running the ball, the game will let you know you're wearing the defense out, even though you're not gaining 5 yards, 4 yards.
Right.
But if you stick to the run, eventually you'll see that thing that says up, you're wearing the defense out. And guess what?
Yep.
So yes. Calling the right game is a good thing, too.
It really is.
I have yet to get that message on my teams. So.
Stick around, Greg. We'll teach you something.
Yeah.
No, you're right. And I'll tell you what, between all of us, we all know a lot of football, but you have to have an open mind. I mean, I've known Jeff basically my whole life, and I really never knew how much football he knew till we started playing this game back in 2005. And his big battle cry, I'd be playing a game and I'd be on the phone with him, and he'd tell me, he'd go, trust the value of your players. Don't blitz every down. You don't have to blitz every down on defense. Oh. Go basic, call runner pass, and, you know, just go for, you know, when you got a powerhouse, the coaching's less. I mean, how much coaching? Yeah. Belichick prepared everybody for, you know, Monday to Saturday. But on Sunday, how much coaching did he really do with all those guys? And Lombardi, you know, Lombardi might have been, they always said Lombardi on game day was, you know, tits on a bull. He'd yell and scream and they'd all laugh because he prepared them from Monday to Saturday, and they all knew what their assignment was and what they had to do.
Right.
And this is very similar. If you know your team, it gets back to what Greg said about the numbers. If you really dig in and dive in and get to know your team, Randy's only playing me once, maybe twice in a season. Yep. He doesn't really know my team like I do.
That's right.
And I don't know his.
No.
It's like, where the hell did that come from?
Can you watch like other people's games, like to get scouting, like your opponent that you're playing the following week and watch your previous week's games to see what they do?
You can look at every single play they've called.
Yes. So you know their tendencies a little bit, real football.
Like Brandon said, you still playing the game as a flow. Because, like, if you start going, and next thing you know, I got Roman Gabriel, it's 3rd and 1. I call a play action pass, and you call run. Guess what? That could be an easy touchdown.
Should be 6.
Yep.
He had a pretty good arm.
Yeah. So you really got to pay attention.
Yes. I'll tell you what, Randy, were you, Greg, you know this guy in the Continental, Ted Patrick, the Wichita?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Randy, you know his dad.
Yeah.
Well, his dad dropped out because all that trading stuff. And Ted, God bless him, stayed in. I didn't handle that too well, but those two guys, Teddy and his dad, that's exactly what they do. What you asked, Darren, they look, if they're playing me, they're looking at all my stats up to that point and what I've called and when I've called it.
Yep.
Because there were games when I'd play those two. I battled them in the same division in the Continental for I don't know how many years. And the games were bloodbaths. And I can't tell you how many times I thought I had them crossed up and they'd make the right call.
That's right.
And
Jeff pointed that out. Third down and three play or your tendency.
Yes.
You can't do the same thing.
And when the same guys stay in the league for years, you get to know them that way too.
Yep.
Vince used to be all, he'd go on fourth down a lot. He loves to draw a play and he loves to throw deep.
Yep.
Does it always work? No, but it can. And it's just these are all the things that make why we love this hobby, because it isn't just white and black.
Nope.
There's so many ways you can build a winning team. There's so many ways you can win if you don't have as good a team. And there's ways you can have the better team and lose, because what Randy said, you don't coach your team well.
Yeah. And there's another feeling too, at least for me, I get to feel what it's like to be 12 again.
Yeah.
Yes. Playing, because with the way the world is and the craziness, it's nice to, you know, take a time out, put the 12-year-old hat on and go back to Vince. So I got a great story about Vince. So, and Randy and Brandon have both heard this story. Uh-huh. So in Randy's league, brand new, I think I was maybe 5 games in, I played Vince. Vince is a sweet guy. Love him. He's from Montreal. He's an Alouettes fan. You got to love a guy like that. But he torched me 86-3. And
an email from me.
It was
when he sent that result in, he's getting it.
He got one from me. Trust me.
He not only did he get one from Randy, but at the time, our other commissioner just kind of was, he sent the entire file out. And well, let's put it this way. It's nice having, sometimes the group can self-correct somebody without a whole lot being need to be said. So a couple of weeks later, I play Vince in the CA. Yeah, it was the CAFL in Brandon's league. And I beat Vince. You look at the stats and you're like, how did this happen? And it just, you know, the luck of just calling the right plays and actually having played Vince a few weeks ago in the other league, I kind of had an idea of some of his tendencies.
Sure.
And it was very slight, but you know, looking back on it, I've looked at those stats in the past and going, yeah, that made the difference. Even though he outperformed me on every stat, his players versus mine, I should have got beat. But
that was your California team versus his Montreal team?
No, that was Austin, my Chicago Boston? Team, my Cardinal team against his Dallas team.
Oh, okay. But, in Randy's league. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, in your league.
No, you're right.
Yeah. But.
Oh, you were Chicago. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, but the key thing is also the randomness that goes into the game.
Right.
Because, you know, the old dad is our friend Upton Bell's father used to say there, Darren, on any given Sunday. And sometimes that happens in the sim world.
Yep.
Okay. Oh God. I mean, we could all share stories where it's, we never remember the ones that win for us. We only remember the ones when we're sitting there in horror as we're at the goal line, getting ready to win the game. And we fumble and some guy picks it up who didn't even recover a fumble, but he went 99 the other way. And we just lost.
Well, Brandon, it's like, I was playing, who was subbing for you a couple of weeks ago? I played your team. The first place and the last
Mark
place.
Mark Nixon, if it was the CFL, it might have been Mark Nixon.
Yeah, it might have been. But anyway, I'm playing your team, and you were 6-1, and I'm down there at the bottom at 1-6, and I crushed your team, and I'm like.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Greg.
Yeah. But the parity in the CFL is very tight because it's an older – it's back in the early 70s. So you can kind of see it's the where the running game dominated versus we go to 2007 in the other league where the passing league game dominates.
Yes. Okay. It's funny, Darren, what you asked earlier about how comparing eras and can one era play differently. If you had – one receiver in the 60s with 50 catches, that was a dynamite. That's Lance Allworth.
Yeah. How about Ryan Charlie Taylor?
Charlie Hennigan.
Oh, 101.
In 2007, guys who caught 60 and 70 balls, they're your third and fourth receiver.
Yeah.
That's how insane the game has changed over in 40 years.
Right. Yeah.
That's what makes it a great game, because it's constantly changing.
Yes. You know,
somebody always finds a better way to get an advantage over an opponent. That's it's a beauty. And it sounds like that's what sim football is doing. It's actually simulating a lot of different aspects of real football. So that's tremendous. Okay. So I guess in closing, maybe if each one of you can maybe take like a minute or so and tell me what is your favorite team or your favorite season that you've had and why it was special to you. Then we'll start with Brandon.
Probably in the Odyssey, the first championship team I had. Now, do you want real life or the sim team?
Your sim team, and maybe okay. Give some of your star players.
The Odyssey team. I started out the first year I was the Canton Bulldogs, and I changed that team name to the Edmonton Eskimos. Greg'll appreciate that. I built that team, and all the other football leagues I'd ever been in, I never won a championship. I had good teams, bad teams, in between teams. And I did what we talked about earlier. I made it a point to really don't just get your favorite players, really try to put a winning team together. And I ended up winning it on one of the things that we talked about earlier too. The guy had me beat, and he didn't look at my kick returner. And he took the lead like 27-24, 27-21 or something late in the game. And he didn't squib or angle. He kicked and the guy ran it back. And that was Randy, I don't know if you were in the league when Bill Jeltz was in it.
Yep.
And Bill and I have known each other for about 40 years. And he emailed me after the game and he goes, "Why didn't I look at your kick returners?" And I thought, thank God you didn't. But anyway, that had to be the most fun. Finally, just breaking through, winning a championship. And also, you know, it was the first real football league with Action PC, and I wanted it to be a success. And we had a great group of guys. And so that made it fun, too, that I knew it wasn't all about me. I mean, it was nice to win it, but other guys congratulate you. Randy knows that. Yep. Randy, you had a couple powerhouse teams in either the Odyssey or the Can-Am.
Odyssey.
So what was your favorite season or team, Randy?
So mine wasn't actually winning the championship. Wasn't my favorite. It was in Brandon's CFL, I got stuck in the same division as Pat, this guy named Pat Berry.
Oh, he never loses.
Six consecutive seasons, I lost to him twice a year. And then once I was always a wild card and I would lose to him. And so I would typically lose three times a year to this guy and I couldn't beat him. So I had probably in 6 years, I probably had 15 losses to him, never could beat him. And finally, after 6 years, I get into the playoffs. I'm the sixth seed and I beat Pat Berry. And I didn't win the championship. But I'll tell you, I thought I did. I won the Berry Championship. And from that point on, the mystique was gone and I could play him head to head. So that was mine.
That's a great story, Randy, because he
is a great coach.
Darren, to give you an idea on Pat Berry in that league, we're in our 32nd season. I believe and I keep an all time one loss record for all. And it's on the website. I think he just now lost his 100th game in 30 some seasons. Because he just a great team builder, able to sustain it, and a great game coach. Randy, I'm the same way against him. Yeah. I can probably count on one hand how many times I've beaten Pat Berry in 32 seasons.
Wow.
Good coach.
Greg, how about your favorite season or team?
Well, I've only played just a few seasons, but going back to my Vince story, beating Vince.
beating Vince, okay. Yeah.
Because you know what is, you know, the frustrating part for me, you know, it's always the learning. And if you're new and you're in a league with guys that played for years and years, for me, I told Randy this and I told Brandon this, I don't mind losing as long as I'm learning. So I've learned a lot. But like you said, we got it. You know, I didn't realize in talking with Brandon in terms of just kind of the age there aren't that many young guys. I mean, just kind of getting a feel of who's in our leagues. We're all older.
Well, so I got, okay. This group, Randy, how old are you, Randy?
I'm 54.
Okay. I'm 68.
So I want to share something.
Greg, how old are you, Greg?
54.
Darren?
I'm 54.
Okay.
So I want to
say that really is the age. There aren't many 20. I don't know. I think I've got a couple young guys, Greg. I get the idea of Tom Holloway, the Las Vegas, who's all his teams are the same in the last. I think he's a young guy because he wanted to play the game on his iPad when he first joined. And I said, get a laptop.
So, Brandon, I want to share this with you guys. Before we did this podcast and you answered it, Brandon, I sent out a survey to everybody I knew in all my leagues, and I got 126 replies. 11.5% of all them 100 are over 70 years old.
Oh, my God.
53% are at 50 to 60. Yeah, and I only have less than 2% or less under 50 years old out of 126 responses.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, well, but here's a platform for you guys. How let's get some of that young crowd if they're interested. Hear this podcast, they're interested in playing.
Yep.
Where do they start? Is there a website or what do they do to start?
Go to Action PC
Game. Go to Action PC Games. If you Google it, Google search it, it's going to be obviously come right up, and you can go right to. They got a great website, and
their customer service is the best. Dave,
the best.
The best there. You have a problem, you email him. He answers it. He fixes it. Done.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that also where this, you guys talked about a forum earlier. Is that also where if somebody could get onto a forum and possibly get into a league that
has some
openings?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. They're user friendly. Like Randy said, I mean, we've all had issues with the game and at the beginning, I could call Dave and talk to him. Now I just email him, and I mean, you'll hear back right away. And right sometimes away. he'll send a game fix just that's unique to whatever you had going on because he doesn't want to put it out there for as a service update to everybody.
Right? Yeah.
Was a new service update put out today, Randy. If you didn't know it,
I got it.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know he's very reachable. I've had just new to the game. I think I emailed him once, boom, got a personal response back. He's been on other podcasts that are focused on simulation gaming too. So he's very, very personable. And if you go to his website and on the left side, scroll down, there'll be a site for for leagues. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got involved. That's how I found Randy and Brandon and the other leagues that I joined and, unfortunately, you had to step away from. But, that's kind of the starting place. And the key thing is to me, there's also, too, Ted's book, which we mentioned in the very beginning, was what piqued my interest, which is called Pastime. And, Darren, I don't know if you want to maybe include a link to that book.
We'll have links to the book and we'll have links to the Action Game site too. I'll put links on the show notes. So if you're listening,
thanks,
you're there, and we'll also put on Pigskin Darren. Dispatch also in our this post for this thing. So
Ted's a super guy,
super good guy.
Former pro wrestler, former arena football player. Now he's a professor. Very interesting guy.
And if you want to know more about Randy, Randy's in the book.
I read the book. Greg sent me the link last week. I read it. Actually, I saw Brandon's name in there also. The end credits, I saw his name in there also. So it's an interesting book. It's an interesting game. I thank all three of you for joining us here today and telling us about your passion of your hobby and preserving football history in the way that you do it. So thank you very much, gentlemen, for sharing.
Thanks for having us on, Darren.
Thank you, Darren.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.